disturbing discussion. Today, of course, the minister is making a statement. There will be a mini debate on the statement. Madam, are you participating?
Yes, Chair.
Okay. And it's really a short debate. And sure, we thought that we should have this and then complete, and then we can go to their house at 9:45 or 9:50. Okay, thank you very much. And the apology? No apologies tendered. We should then welcome the department, honorable minister, deputy minister, director general, and all the leadership. We must invite then the minister to make this presentation. Comrade minister.
Thank you, Chair. Just a few quick words of introduction. This process started in 2012, first draft in 2013, final discussion document in 2014. Secondly, as Dr. Malishlela will explain in a moment, urbanization and how we manage urbanization is a very topical issue around the world, particularly as we find that both in developed and developing countries, urbanization, firstly, is a phenomenon that's moving at a very fast pace, particularly in developing countries. But secondly, far more importantly, is the manner in which urbanization is planned for and the manner in which, let's call it the rich and the poor, are dealt with by municipal leaders. And there's lots of evidence coming up from around the world that what we are finding in terms of urban management and urban design, that the poor are still on the margin, which would include low-income people, even in cities like London. So today we don't have enough of an opportunity to go through all the details, Chair, but perhaps early in the new year we can come back to you with a lot more detailed graphs and so on to indicate what are the patterns in urbanization, where are we as a globe, let alone South Africa, not managing it. But in the South African context, we've got to be very mindful of the fact that our spatial design, our location of human settlements, our lack of economic opportunities for the majority in South Africa is as a consequence of the apartheid system. And that apartheid lives with us today, however much some people might want to deny it. And those who supported apartheid in the old days must take some responsibility for the conditions in which we find ourselves today, because you can't erase a township off a map. It still remains 20 to 30 kilometers away from where most people enjoy the kind of services that citizens should be entitled to enjoy. All we've done is tried to ameliorate some of those things. But when we really get the time to debate this, we've got to ask ourselves to what extent what everybody calls path dependency, not everybody, what some people call path dependency, which is also a global phenomenon. In other words, how does your past as a country and how does your history still shape the way in which you can do things or can't do things in the current environment? So the other end of this question of the integrated urban development framework is, okay, you've got the framework, so what are you going to do? So that also we want to come back to you on, because the framework is not there just for having a nice piece of work on the bench. It's about influencing the manner in which decisions are made and spatial planning and other forms of planning take place in real, everyday South Africa. And we will come back to you again early in the year about what we think needs to be done in that regard. Thank you. Dr. Malishlela.
Thanks very much, Minister, and good morning. As Minister already said, that the work is informed by the changing patterns in terms of urbanization that shows that this is a global phenomenon, that worldwide it's expected that the urban population will increase to 70% by 2050, that also in Africa our current urbanization of 40% is also expected to increase and to double over the next 6 years, but also as South Africa, that currently is sitting at 63%, and in terms of the National Development Plan is that by 2030 will be 70% urbanized, and the United Nations predicts that by 2050 will be 80% an urban country. And what is actually interesting is that it's not just about the percentage in terms of the numbers, but also the rate at which it is actually occurring, that more and more people move even faster to the urban areas. So what the National Development Plan says, which is what the Integrated Urban Development Framework responds to, is the fact that the main challenge in planning for urban areas is to enable job creation that is linked to sustainable livelihoods, and also to establish well-performing human settlements, and that this should be at the heart of what municipalities should do and how they should function. So what this basically saying is that the municipalities are critical and at the center of ensuring that we have well-managed and well-planned urban settlements that accommodate people. The IUDF discussion document was, we started the work in 2012. In 2013 October, we launched the discussion document that basically provided the rationale for focusing on urbanization and what are the key issues that we'll be looking for, and that we, in terms of the document itself, we want to create a shared understanding across government and society on how to best manage urbanization in order to ensure resilient and inclusive settlement areas. Four main reasons, as said briefly also by the Minister, on why the need for this focus on urbanization: the economic imperative, the fact that there's a potential in our cities and towns to create more jobs, to lead to economic growth, but at the same time you have a lot of poverty, the phenomenon that you're calling urbanization of poverty. So, but there's a potential that if we were to focus on cities and towns because of their scale, the densities, and the diversity of the economic opportunities, there's a lot of potential there. The inclusion imperative, they need to be more tolerant and supportive to survival strategies. How do we deal with issues of access? How do we deal with the issues of inclusivity when a lot of people are still marginalized in our cities and towns, despite the potential that is already there, which is part of the history that we've inherited? The spatial imperative, and here the key issue is about spatial transformation and spatial integration, dealing with issues of densities and sprawl, which is making more costly, more difficult to effect the change. The current urban form is not sustainable in the long run. The institutional imperative basically deals with the need to establish proper governance systems, proper leadership at city level, across government level, but also strengthening collaboration across the various levels of government to effectively plan and manage, because of the fact that the powers and the functions, not all of them reside in local government, but others reside in other spheres of government. How do we collaborate better? How do we ensure integrated delivery of services? This slide shows some of the pressures on urban governance that we, the AIUDF, aims to deal with, the issue of rural-urban interdependencies. And here is that for a long time the debate was, is either when you talk rural, it's as if it's the opposite of urban, but the argument is that both spaces are interlinked and you can't look at urban development without looking at rural development. So you need to understand the dependencies between the two spaces in the form of a continuum, as opposed to a discussion on the dichotomy. The demand for housing and continued sprawl is one of the governance issues. The issue of service land from private developers. The other striking issue is the shrinking revenue base, which increases the demand for service. We have lots more people coming into urban spaces, but not all of them are able to contribute to the revenue of municipalities. So cities are under pressure. Their revenues are shrinking, or second, when their needs are actually also increased. So there's a need to have a way on how they get supported. Insufficient intergovernmental collaboration that sometimes frustrates integration at local government, and also intensifying public protest and diminishing trust on the sphere and elected leadership. This slide, we normally call the spaghetti slide, summarizes basically what the draft IUDF is. On the left-hand side is the vision. They need to create livable, safe, resource-efficient cities that are socially integrated, economically inclusive, and globally competitive. We have then identified four strategic goals. The first goal is making sure that we improve access to both social and economic choices and opportunities. The second goal is ensuring inclusive economic growth. The third strategic goal is improving governance. ensuring that both leadership at various levels, but also communities participate in what you call inclusive governance at a local space. The third goal is spatial transformation, transforming the current urban form that we have. We then identified eight levers, policy levers, to take us to the goals, which is what I will also then quickly go through in terms of the presentation: integrated spatial planning, integrated transport and mobility, integrated and sustainable human settlements, integrated urban infrastructure, efficient land governance and management, inclusive economic development, empowered economic activities, effective urban governance. And the linkages there, the spaghetti there, shows that more than one lever would contribute to more than one strategic goal. So, for example, when you have integrated spatial planning, how does it help us to improve access? How does it help us to spatially transform our urban form? And how does it help us for economic growth? In the draft document itself, from page 32 to page 86, is strategic priorities that have been identified per lever. In terms of lever one, the integrated spatial planning, some of the challenges that we've identified is the lack of intergovernmental alignment of spatial planning and poor coordination between sectors and spheres, insufficient use of IGR mechanisms to direct collaborative planning, weak long-term planning, particularly at local government, that inhibits sustained growth, and weak capabilities for spatially transformed, informed decision-making and competent administration of plans. On the integrated spatial planning, I will go through the objectives, but not all the priorities. The main objective is spatial transformation to reverse the undesirable settlement patterns, creating a stable and predictable condition for investment, clarity for government spheres on investment, and efficient development approval process. And here really the issue is about spatial transformation. How do we deal with the issues of density? How do we establish systems that in terms of your land application, land governance issues, they're actually dealt with quicker in a way that creates good condition for investment and economic development at local government level? The second lever is integrated transport and mobility. Some of the challenges identified include the fact that in terms of the National Land Transport Act, there are certain responsibilities that have been identified for cities, but those have not been fully aligned and implemented. There's even an uncertainty at local level on subsidy arrangements. Low densities and extensive sprawl of settlements mitigate against deficiencies in transport planning, and also historical underinvestment in transport infrastructure, which has created resource stress in meeting new demands. In terms of the document, the proposals, we have separated integrated transport from the overall urban infrastructure because of the potential of integrated public transport, particularly to deal with issues of access and inclusion. Because sometimes the question is, why is it not part of urban infrastructure? But also just in terms from a sequencing point of view, that if you have a well-planned integrated transport and mobility systems, they would help in terms of access, in terms of inclusion, and that is what should then inform how you invest in human settlements, how you invest in other urban infrastructure, whether it's ICT, whether it's water, whether it's energy. The objective is to enhance mobility and connectivity, greater productivity and employment by reducing the time and cost spent on travel, because you know that South Africa has one of the highest rates in terms of the amount of time and cost that is spent on traveling because of the distances that the Minister spoke about in terms of our township and where people have to commute between their places of work and their residence. And also the other one in terms of the relating to issues of climate change, the reduced emissions and efficient use of resources as people choose to use public transport instead of private cars. The third lever on integrated and sustainable human settlements, the challenges identified includes escalating demand for service land and shelter, shortage of well-located public land for housing development, skewed residential property market, prevalence of urban sprawl, growth of informal settlements and low densities. The objectives under this lever is ensuring improved quality of life for all inhabitants who have access to basic services, creating multifunctional spaces with more housing and economic choices, providing well serviced, safe and vibrant and communities. Some of the priorities identified deal with issues of promoting densification, including supporting backyarding in various areas, informal settlement support, supporting development of townships, but also looking at the assignment of some of the functions to local government. Integrated in urban infrastructure, the challenges identified include fragmented governance and funding sources for urban infrastructure, lack of coherent local level planning and delivery, insufficient funding for new capital investments and poor maintenance, and inadequate infrastructure linked to unreliable services and conditions, constraints in economic growth. The objective identifies universal access to basic services, environmental protection through reduced emissions and protection of the ecological resources, and sustained economic growth. And some of the priorities here, and which what we'll be focusing on, include institutionalizing municipal long-term infrastructure planning that is linked to the long-term spatial plans, also consolidating and coordinating infrastructure planning. The fifth lever on efficient land governance and management, the challenges include disposal of state land at high market-related value, which is one of the challenges identified by cities, that their inability to access some of strategically owned state land is inhibiting them from transforming their spaces, difficulties in accessing strategically located land, tenure uncertainty and security, especially in informal settlements, and slow land use planning and management processes. Some of the priorities that we'll be focusing on is looking at the need to simplify land use planning and management. How do we ensure that municipalities can access strategically located land to effect the spatial transformation, addressing the impacts of traditional authority areas within predominantly urban municipalities, because that has got a lot of implications, especially from a spatial planning point of view, but also looking at the improving intergovernmental relations for acquisition or transfer of state land. The sixth lever on inclusive economic development, some of the challenges identified, insufficient focus on economic development that has been neglected in many urban areas, the informal sector that is dismissed or marginalized at local government, lack of differentiation in response to unique conditions faced by various towns and cities. The focus in terms of this lever would then be to look at the role and strengthening the role that municipalities should play in terms of supporting economic development in their spaces. This would include strengthening their institutional capacity, initiating shared economic strategies and programs among cities, but also strengthening their role and support to small and medium-sized towns. And lastly, the support to community-based enterprises community-based enterprises. The seventh lever on empowered active communities, the challenges identified include lack of adequate skills and experience to engage within both government and civil society, lack of innovative co-produced solutions for service delivery, lack of understanding of government structures and operations, and insufficient fora to promote participation and promote social cohesion. The key focus of this lever is to look at ways of building the capacity between both the state and the government to engage, exploring ways of co-producing and co-creating solutions for local government services, but also exploring other service delivery mechanisms for other social services, so that the looking at solutions for various services, not only from government side, but how do government and civil society work together for the co-creation of solutions. The last lever, eight, on effective urban governance, challenges identified include lack of structured and systematic engagement with city leadership, with long-term planning and budgeting capabilities, lack of appropriate skills and competent staff, lack of differentiation in approach to growth and development, and uneven intergovernmental engagement and negotiation capabilities regarding execution of functional powers. The objectives here and the focus will be to and foster constructive collaboration across the intergovernmental system, look at the fiscal and institutional capacity able to meet the demands of urban growth. So the areas I would then be focusing on is how do we strengthen intergovernmental and long-term planning and budgeting, how do we streamline support and monitoring of municipal performance, and promoting a stronger positioning of our cities in terms of the IGR structures, and introducing levels of differentiation in both planning, fiscal resources, and for built environment powers and function. In terms of the way forward, the cabinet has approved the draft for public consultation, and we have started with the process of consultation. The purpose of the consultation process is to get inputs and comments on the proposals, the adequacy and the relevance of the levers and the strategic priorities, but also proposals and to identify key immediate areas for the implementation plan that we need to start implementing now, and also to look at various options for enforcement of the policy framework and the various instruments as identified in the draft document. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Colleagues, that is the presentation. Any addition? Deputy Minister, Director General, Minister? We are all fine. Okay, colleagues, that is the presentation. Honorable Ntembu.
Honorable Mala. This is not their house.
Thank you, Chairperson. Thank you, Chairperson. Good morning. I would welcome this presentation, and it shows that this is a working government. It's not a relaxed government as it is perceived sometimes, not sometimes, more often. That it is a government that sees gaps and it comes up with strategies and mechanisms in closing such. Minister, this is a broad topic. It's not a topic maybe for today, and I'm also happy that you did indicate earlier on that there are things that maybe in future we need to sit and discuss, because it involves too many things, because we may look at it as addressing the issue of services, the issue of people having settlement and the like, but even the issue of cross cultures, it's also part of it. But I'm happy that you, in the presentation, it is indicated that there must be a collaboration of stakeholders in ensuring that this it's not only a concept, but it is a tool that assists us in achieving and also moving South Africa forward to where it's supposed to be, in also redressing the past imbalances that we are still experiencing today, because we are still held back because of this past history that we are coming from, the apartheid system, because whatever that we're trying to do, it seems sometimes that we are not doing anything, but because of the entrenched misfortunes that are still there in terms of the past imbalances. But I'm happy that we are doing something. But another issue is the issue of the people that we are having in our country who came as workers, like your mine workers, because sometimes you find that the problem that we are experiencing in trying to do things, you know, sometimes we concentrate on the people that are citizens maybe in our country and find that sometimes we've got a problem. Like, for instance, sometimes if they are retrenched or they've lost work, some of them do not go back home. Hence, you find the issue of the informal settlement that sometimes it's not easily addressed. It's not because maybe sometimes it's people from around, but it's people who are here as working, and when they ought to go back maybe to their place, it's difficult. They now enjoying to be part of us, and because sometimes it's difficult for them to be granted sometimes the things that maybe they want, they resort to these activities whereby they will just see a land and place themselves there. So I think maybe as going forward, you need to also maybe look at how are we going to deal with such a situation and the relationship with the States SA, because we had that presentation from the State SA that indicated that somewhere as doing things and as having plans, sometimes it's difficult because the information, the data that they have, sometimes it's not considered by other sectors. Maybe I don't know, in terms of doing this, have maybe considered the issue of the data that is already there in terms of assisting us in ensuring that we do everything being guided by the information that is already there. I think,
Okay.
Thank you.
Very
participation is also good. Madam.
Thank you, Chairperson. First of all, I also welcome the presentation. I think given that this matter is being discussed in the House today, I think it's something that we should have done a while back. I think that as a committee we should have been exposed to this a lot earlier in the process, but let me welcome it. Minister, I have, or Doctor, I have a couple of questions, and maybe you can clarify these for me. First of all, what is the timeline that you're looking at to complete this process? How long before the draft is adopted as a final framework and accepted as the way that we are going to go forward? The second relates to the question that my colleague has just asked, and that is one of the issues that is faced by South Africa's urban economies, and this goes to the issue of the whole IUDF, and that's the rural-urban linkage, is the flow of capital, or the, is it capital? The flow of cash from the urban areas to the rural areas by people who are funding families who are living still in the rural areas, and the net effect is that the urban areas are not the beneficiaries of the jobs that they're creating. They're creating an economic environment, they're sustaining that economic environment, but the revenue is not staying in the municipality, it's moving to another municipality and being spent elsewhere. Does that make sense? There's a flow of money, and the money's not being spent where it's being generated. So that municipality is then losing out. And I'd welcome some input on that as well, please. Let me leave it at that for now. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much, Chair. Just to say that one really welcomes this presentation. And I think that what it does is to really create a framework for us to engage a very complex issue and complex question. The first comment is really that I think it's good that we have identified this problem of urbanization and migration as a global challenge. The issue of urbanization and migration is debated continuously at various international fora, and there are various kinds of issues that are being looked at in relation to this. And therefore, as a country, we are not lagging behind. We continue to engage the issue and discuss it. Of course, there may be certain elements that are South African specific, but that we're engaging the issue, I think, represents progress. Secondly, I think that what we really do need in dealing with this matter is as we seem to be moving in this kind of direction, we need bold action. We need bold action because there are many issues on the ground already that are presenting themselves as challenges as a result of this question. One of those is the fact that, for instance, we have numerous informal settlements, especially in bigger cities. I know that in Johannesburg, there over there at some point in the past few years, there are over 118 informal settlements. You can just imagine what the number is. Ekurhuleni, what the number is in Tshwane, and so on. This is not to say that there are no informal settlements in the smaller towns. But the issue is very big in the main urban centers and main metros. So one of the things that we need to do is really to have a few pilot projects. And this is critical because the issue is not even that appreciated amongst officials and staff and personnel in the various government departments, whether it be national, provincial, and local. For instance, at the local government level, there's no understanding, there's no one understanding of what is meant by formalization. So what really happens is that everything goes on as if everything else in Johannesburg is sent in, or everything else in Cape Town is Green Point. So what we need to do is to, as part of the back to basics, to get people to look at the question of formalization and to say, what is it that is being done going forward? Because we can't act as if everything it's formalized in urban areas. And we need to deal with this question of formalization and clarify what is meant. Because often enough, what people do is to, when asked, what is it that we're doing there, just say formalization. But what is that? What is that? In a practical sense, it's very meaningless. There's no, there isn't substance in what is meant. Because they say, no, we're waiting for...
Honorable, my son, I'm just worried about you at heart.
Okay.
And as you say that change must be seated.
Okay.
And, but also, is the introduction.
Okay. So we'll come back to the issue. Let me summarize from the chair. So the issue, first issue I'm raising is formalization. The second issue that I'm raising is the question of new minds, that the new minds are going to add to informal settlements. Now the question is, should we be going back to how Johannesburg started and the slums and so on, or should we be planning ahead and saying, this is how we should anticipate the problem and deal with it before it arrives? The last question from the chair is just the just reemphasize the small question of being innovative in our approach as we go forward.
Sorry, Chair, the headset off.
Yes.
I want to allow the minister to come in. We are still going to the chamber for some of the discussion.
I didn't hear the question.
The question, the last question.
The last question, the issue of
being innovative.
Okay.
Philip, 1 minute for you would be sufficient.
Yeah.
We are still going to be going everywhere in the country. This
okay, Chair. Just two quick points, Chair. The one is that I think despite the progress that we have made over the 20-year period in terms of providing services, in terms of dealing with the legacies of the past, but one thing that the information, the data that came out of the Statistics South Africa has shown us is that we haven't impacted on apartheid, geography, and special planning. That the manner in which the cities are developing, they seem more to entrench that level of development and planning rather than reduce it. And the information is there, and I think at an appropriate time we can be able to look at the information with the department. So this plan is welcomed within that context of trying to impact on apartheid spatial geography. The second point, Chair, is that, which I would like to make, is that there are two things which the majority of the workers in the country are spending on. And that is the cost of transport and food. So the workers which constitute the bulk
of those who are driving this economy are spending on those two items. And I think the integrated transport and mobility plan, or do you call it sphere or lever, is welcome in a sense that it's about time that there is some integrated planning around transport. But also I think the Department of Transport needs to be engaged so that transport, especially public transport, can be developed and integrated in such a manner that the cost will be reduced on the workers so that more money can be spent on the economy by those who are working. So welcome the plan, Chair, and we will engage, as the Minister has promised, sometime next year on it. Thanks.
I hope so. It's in the afternoon, after lunch. You know.
We won't eat anything. We'll just wait until the end.
But in the
Honorable Melham, I think I agree.
Very doubtful. That's very doubtful. With the recent record. But let me first respond to Honorable Mtembu, who makes some very important points about stakeholders. What we will do next year, Chair, is come back to you with some graphics. Talking about these things in words doesn't quite convey what we are talking about in terms of the spatial effect of apartheid and the kind of challenges that we are talking about. So we'll come back with some graphics and let's see if all the parties represented in this committee are at one, at least in terms of trying to eradicate the effects of apartheid, rather than playing little silly football games. The point about...
I'm sorry, Chair. The Minister's making a political comment. I mean, really, can he just actually focus on the...
What do you think you're doing every day? You're making political comments as well.
Okay.
All the time.
Honourable Member.
No.
Chairperson,
I don't just on the point of order. I think we must really begin to conduct ourselves a bit better and seek to add value to the work that is being done by the committee. I can't see why it's necessary for Milan to intervene in the way in which he's doing, because the minister is just basically summarizing the point. Now, so to delay the meeting and being involved in engaging a lot of meaningless type activity, comments, so it gets us nowhere.
The point is well made, really. Bearing in mind, though, for that portfolio committees are political portfolio committees, are not churches. Then we are going to engage on hard politics. No one should start politics and be scared to return against politics. We are political leadership here, both the chamber and here. Therefore, the politics will be dominating on this issue. I don't think we should engage on it. We should encourage, we must engage on it.
And if I may say so, Chair, with your permission, I actually want to endorse your point. I've been in the constructive politics for a long time, and we certainly have the ability to engage constructively with people who want to engage constructively. If, on the other hand, as I said, if we want to play silly political games, then we must be ready, like you say, to receive as much as we give. And we've only started. This is only the start. So let's go back to the substance.
If the minister wants to go down that route, be constructive, then perhaps he should start by answering letters that are written to him.
Okay.
Months ago.
Okay.
I haven't had a single letter that I put constructive things on the table answered.
Okay.
So if you want to be constructive, Minister, start there.
You want to start? You want to start? Your statement in the House. Your statement in the House. No. Don't make false accusations. Don't make false accusations. There must be some integrity in what you do. That's got nothing to do with integrity. That's got to do with efficiency. Don't you know the difference? Well, so be it.
Let
Chair, the point about mine workers and the conditions in which they live is absolutely a valid point, as is the proliferation of informal settlements. So the whole idea, if we get the system going, is to be proactive in our planning, so that our municipal managers and planners, as Honorable Masondo was saying, are ahead of the game rather than behind the game. The points made by several of the members on Stats South Africa, their data, what it shows us about settlement patterns even post-apartheid is an important concern. But when we get the time, we need to also ask why and what happened in this period. What did municipal officials do? What did they allow to actually happen? Why did they allow what actually happened? Are there too many brown envelopes circulating, which allows developers to literally get away with murder by continuing to spread the boundaries of municipalities? So there's some tough issues which we're quite willing to address. And Honorable Melahan's point about final draft, I think this has been a long process. I'm reminded by Deputy Minister Nell that your predecessor committee was in fact briefed on this document, and the fact that this is happening today is no fault of the department of the ministry. It's the way in which scheduling has actually happened until now within the committee. So the way we want to use this document is to extract key policy pillars, take the point that Honorable Masondo makes about piloting some of the issues, and then around that have a constructive discussion with all stakeholders on whether you should do A or B on a particular matter and try to build consensus around that. The issue of the urban economy, I have to say that Honorable Milham's point there is a very narrow point. What we are saying is that money made in a municipality must remain in the municipality. Remittances in the developing world play a very important part in sustaining families. That's actually a global phenomenon, not a South African one. And perhaps he needs to rethink his position on that, or we can help him to do that. Honorable Masondo's point about bold action and so on, Che, we can't disagree with. His point about formalization is one that we're not doing well enough. And part of the apartheid planning effect is the cost of transport and the cost on productivity of human beings, but also of our economy more generally. But we can come back to you on what are some of the thoughts that we have in this area. Let me just check if Dr. Malashilela wants to add anything. Deputy Minister? No. Thank you.
Okay. No, sir. I think we must have a workshop early next year, Comrade Whip and the Management Committee of the committee, please. Let us organize a workshop early next year where there's no city. Just a workshop before we start our serious proper. Can be in Johannesburg, can be in Cape Town, can be Buffalo City, Melham, can host us there. Then we can have a real discussion on the issue, because it's very, very important, because the legacy of apartheid is with that. In fact, anyway, Honorable Minister, even in a house, we can see the legacy of apartheid or how we treat each other. And in fact, I was nearly beaten by one person there by protecting the speaker. I just think that we are reducing. It's going to take how many years? It's going to take another 4 years. But they must go to the army and be trained. Otherwise, if they want to be trained to us, then we must avoid this, because it's a bigger problem that we are doing. I mean, my view, Melham, is that we still have a 4 years to go. And then to be carried away by anger when it's not necessary, I think, will be very difficult to work in the house. Will be difficult to work in committees. In fact, it's not wise for anyone to provoke a big organization like the ANC that is so accommodative. It's just, I found no reason why people want to engage the most accommodative organization in a manner that is really so much provocative. We got 4 years, colleagues, we got 4 years to work together. must lower a little bit some of the issues there. We are going to have a discussion on some of the issues and move forward. But I think we must have a workshop. A two-day workshop may make it possible if you can invite SALGA people also to come in and have a meeting on that. Shengwa, I think that's what you want to do. Then the team must just set up a date next year. Even if before we come here, generally have a time there for us to have a workshop, and then the minister, the department comes in. And surely, I think also on public hearings, there shouldn't be a problem for the committee also to have some discussion with community. Some few areas that are critical in our country for public hearing on this, there will be no harm at all to do that. But I really want to appeal, colleagues, let us not destroy the working of the committee. 2 years, 4 years to go is too much for an angry governing party. It would be very stupid to do so. Absolutely very stupid. No one can ever succeed by simply fighting a very big giant. It doesn't make sense, General. I'm not sure what you want to achieve. Comrade Minister.
No, the Honourable Madam accused some people of being illicit thugs. I'm not sure if he wants to take the opportunity to withdraw.
Jefferson, I definitely did not accuse anyone. I said it's better than being illiterate thugs, is what I said.
No,
but if the minister wants me to withdraw, I will withdraw. I will withdraw.
Madam, we are still with us for the next 50 years. We are still with us for the next 50 years. We are very young. It's very important that we don't go for the thing that we are saying against colleagues who have been victims of apartheid for the last 300 years. When we got no appreciation of the role they play to reconcile society, we still treat them as if they are slaves. We are going to cause problem in the country. We are going to cause problem in the country because, you see, once we raise the supremacy thing, that therefore, I think we are going to cause problem in the country. The chamber is not going to be workable. Committees won't be workable. That is not assisting for us to do so. Because the more, in fact, you do these things, you just remind us of slavery, that we are still treated like subhuman. The likelihood for us to fight is very high. It's absolutely very high because the supremacy approach can't be right. I don't think we should go for supremacy approach. I'm white, therefore I'm superior. We must avoid this thing because it reminds us of a real problem. And then please, comrades, let us do that, colleagues. This committee has been very peaceful, very constructive in our approach. We differ with Honorable Melham, but we do this with respect. We don't want there to be dragged to gutter politics. Politics of insult, politics of disrespect is not correct, colleagues, on that. Please, colleagues, let us adjourn our meeting. We'll meet in our workshop. Let us go to the chamber. Thank you very much.